This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Him, glorifying Him, declaring His perfection, testifying that there is no God or deity that is worthy of worship or unconditional obedience except for Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and blessings upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and those that follow Him until the Day of Judgment. We bear witness that He was sent as a guide for mankind. And we bear witness that there is no sunnah that is worth following except for His sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who adhere to it. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, to sum up this entire procedure, this entire trial of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing in front of Him, receiving your judgment in just a few minutes is going to be extremely difficult, just as every other topic in this conference is. But I do want to congratulate first and foremost the organizers of this conference, alhamdulillah, for the theme of the conference, for the program layout of this conference, because inshallah ta'ala, like Brother Noor said earlier, that this might wake somebody up. And if one person, as a result of this conference, goes home now having a strong and firm belief in the akhirah, and wakes up that this entire convention, all of the resources that were put into it, have been worth it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us inshaAllah ta'ala and to reward them, to reward our dear scholars who have already spoken and those who will speak, to bless them inshaAllah ta'ala and to elevate them and to increase all of us in beneficial knowledge and pure sincerity and good deeds. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, to describe this moment, as Shaykh Kareem was talking about the moment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have nations standing behind their messengers and their prophets, and the argument takes place between the nations and their prophets. And as we all know, there is a moment now where each and every single one of us has to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to put it quite simply, on the Day of Judgment, one of two things will happen. Either it will be a reunion between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it will be an introduction. And you don't want that to be the first time you introduce yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want that to be the first time you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want that to be the first time you consider you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all of this comes down to one hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has narrated this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith Qudsi, as we all know it. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am what my servant expects of me. And a lot of times people would misuse this hadith for their ma'siyah, for their disobedience. You know, if you look at the people of ma'siyah, people, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect this, people that consistently disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always invoke Allah's loving attributes. And they always invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes of mercy and compassion. They always invoke those attributes, thinking that by using this hadith and this understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what His servant expects of him, that he can change the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can't do that. If you look in Surah Yasin, when the people dispute with the warners that have come to them, and they said, وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ, and Allah ar-Rahman, even when the people are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're invoking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman. If you see someone who's living in absolute disobedience, and you go up to him and you say, يَا أَخِي اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, this business is haram, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to change your life, and you need to go back into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow His guidance. He might respond to you, "Who are you to judge me? Allah is most merciful. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim." Meaning, I can do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ana inda dhanna 'abdi bi." So when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can expect Him to be as I imagined Him to be. But Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, there is a gross misunderstanding of this hadith. And that is that, "Ana inda dhanna 'abdi bi" means that I can attribute an attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not attribute to Himself. "Ana inda dhanna 'abdi bi" does not mean that you can ignore half of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course we know there is even more than that in the sunnah. That does not mean that you can ignore Al-Aziz Dhintiqab. That does not mean that you can ignore Shadidul Iqab. That does not mean that you can ignore the attributes that you choose to ignore. So what does "Ana inda dhanna 'abdi bi" mean? Allah is what you expect of Him. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way you expect to find Him. But you cannot attribute to Allah injustice. So what does it mean? And we go through this process now, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every single person stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his Lord will speak to him without any interpreter or translator. And you know, there were some people, by the way, I remember once when we were talking about this meeting, and someone said, "How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to speak to me if I don't speak Arabic?" And there is a hadith that says that Allah, that you should love the Arabs for three reasons: because I am an Arab, and because the Quran is in Arabic, and because the language of the people in Jannah is in Arabic. And that hadith, by the way, is mawdu', it's completely fabricated. But some people say, "Hey, how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to address me? How am I going to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How am I going to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" There will be no translator between you. You will understand fully what your Lord is saying to you. And you will understand before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how that meeting is going to go. Notice when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to us the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the justice that takes place between the animals. يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naba, at that moment, يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا, I wish I was reduced to dirt. I wish I was reduced to dust. Because he understands from that moment that I'm in big trouble. You know already before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're standing there, you know how that meeting is going to go. Because all of this observance of deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you will not go in vain. And that's why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, there's a very simple equation to perfecting the standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And that is to perfect your standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dunya. The one who perfects his standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in his salah will perfect his standing on the Day of Judgment. The one who knows Allah now, the one who talks to Allah now, the one who makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, the one who enjoys a relationship with his Lord now, without seeing Him, will be pleased to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. But the one who has tried to ignore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the entire time, tried to ignore the thoughts of his resurrection, that is the day that he will be introduced to his Lord. And that is not the day you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time. Now if we look at the courtroom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first rule that we have, la ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ, there will be absolutely no transgression today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to wrong a single human being. And the procedure, the way the proceedings take place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have the indictment, you will have the trial, you will have the sentencing. All of that takes place in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. As for the believer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man su'ila yawm al-qiyamah," and in another narration, "Man yuqish al-hisab 'udhib," whoever has to face the accountability part, whoever has to go to trial, he will be destroyed, he will be punished. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "But ya Rasulullah, what about qawlihi ta'ala, his word subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. And as for the one who receives his book in his right hand, then he's going to have an easy accountability. Allah is still mentioning accountability, right? And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, no, ya Aisha, ذَلِكَ الْعَرْضِ. That's just the presentation of your deeds. And he repeated, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man yuqishu al-hisab udhib. Whoever has to be asked on the Day of Judgment will be in trouble. And you know what the wisdom of that is? And subhanAllah, you think about this ayah that the brother recited so beautifully just now. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. Today we will seal their mouths. This is the trial part now. These are the proceedings. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you, when you have to go through deed by deed by deed by deed, and you have to explain yourself. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. And their arms and their hands start to speak to us. Their legs start to speak to us. And the mouths are sealed. And imagine seeing all of your limbs coming in the form of human beings. And saying to them, "An kunna kunna nujadil." We were fighting for you. I was trying to get you out of trouble. You're the one that's going to have to go to hellfire. Imagine having to go through that. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not wronged anyone. This is justice. This is justice. Let's bring the witnesses. Let's bring those who witnessed these crimes. Let them speak on your behalf, for you or against you today. But as for the believer, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the hadith Qudsi from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated in the famous hadith that Allah has said, "Man عَادَ لِي وَلِيَّا." Whoever takes one of my beloved ones as an enemy, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Then I have waged war on him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And my servant does not draw closer to me with anything more beloved than the things that I have written upon him, than al-fara'id." And then he continues to draw close to me with the nawafid, with his voluntary actions. Hatta, until I love him. Until I love him. Remember, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِ بِي. I'm what my servant expects of me. You cannot claim when you are committing dhulm, when you are committing shirk, that God loves me. No. In Islam, we don't have that understanding. Allah loves for you to be guided, but you cannot say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you when you are in that situation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already refuted you in the Qur'an when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَاسِقِينَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. No, you've got to earn that love. حَتَّى, until I love him. Now what is the next part of the hadith? فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ. So if I love him, فَكُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهَا. Then I am his hearing with which he hears. SubhanAllah. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. And I am the sight with which he sees. And I am the hand with which he strikes. And the foot with which he walks. Now does that mean that we're sitting here preaching pantheism now, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in you and I and those types of things? Absolutely not. But what does this hadith mean? My sight does not gaze upon anything that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that are naturally pleasing to me, things that are naturally pleasing to you as a human being, we naturally are attracted to the opposite gender. We naturally are attracted to things that are, subhanAllah, inside of us. Psychologically, we see those things. And psychologically and physically, you are attracted to those things. But because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only are you not attracted anymore, prison becomes more beloved to you, like Yusuf alayhi salam, the wife of Al-Aziz, a beautiful woman. Have you ever seen a wife of a king that was ugly? No offense, sisters, but I'm talking to the brothers right now. I'm just being honest, okay? The wife of Al-Aziz, throwing herself on Yusuf alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِي وَهَمَّ بِهَا. She wanted him and he had a desire for her. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. But he saw the proof of his Lord, and that became hated to him. To the point that he said, a sijn, prison, would be more beloved to me than what she's calling me to. So you already got your eyesight in control. Things that you naturally like to hear. Things that you naturally like to hear. Gossip, backbiting, all that. It's juicy. It's juicy. But you know what? I hate it now. because I know that this is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I shut my ears off from that already. Things that you naturally like to go towards, walk towards, your hands, your feet, actions that you naturally enjoy, but you no longer enjoy that because you have seen the proof of your Lord. So you already are holding yourself accountable. So your eyes are not seeing except what Allah wants you to see. Your ears are not hearing except what Allah wants you to hear. Your hands are not moving or your feet are not moving in a direction except the way that Allah wants you to move. And that's why, inshaAllah ta'ala, those people don't have to go through al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. Today we'll seal their mouths, bring forth their eyesight, bring forth their tongues, bring forth their arms, bring forth their legs, because that person was already keeping himself in check. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُ. Take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Think about that for a moment. If you're already moving in the direction Allah wants you to move in, if you're already thinking of Allah, then that's a reunion on the Day of Judgment. You just want to see Him. And you know, subhanAllah, the irony of it all, the person who disobeys Allah day and night and does not fear Him and does not fear the reckoning, does not fear having to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be asked about his deeds, that person doesn't want to meet Allah. He doesn't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be afraid to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and right now he's not worried about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believer who sees his sins not as a mosquito, but sees his sins as a mountain on his back about to crush him, and fears the standing in front of his Lord. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. He fears standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being held accountable. He wants to meet Allah. SubhanAllah. He craves it. He's longing for it. He's longing for the chance to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it ironic? He's afraid, but he wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person's not afraid, but they don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does that work? You know, I always reflect on this. If you've ever been in the, well, all of you have been in the airport, I'm sure, at one point in your life. I've always, subhanAllah, been astonished when you look at departures and arrivals. Sometimes you get dropped off in departures, sometimes in arrivals. When you're at departures, people are hugging each other and they're crying out of sadness, bidding farewell to their loved ones. Then you just go downstairs to arrivals and everybody's celebrating and enjoy hugging each other. SubhanAllah, it's just one floor down and everybody's happy. And subhanAllah, it always strikes you. It's like, man, I was just upstairs and I wanted to cry. And now I'm downstairs and I still want to cry, but for the opposite reason. Just because of subhanAllah, how everyone is so happy to see their loved ones again. So on the Day of Judgment, dear brothers and sisters, the believers have already faced departure and they miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go to their salah, they go to their prayer, بِقَلْبٍ مُشْتَاقٍ, with a heart that is missing Him. So when they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day, they miss Him. And so they stand in front of Him more. And they know that even though they're afraid of their sins, when they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are dealing with one that they've known for their entire existence. They're dealing with Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. They're dealing with the most compassionate, the most merciful. And that's why Sufyan rahimahullah, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ خُيِّرْتْ, if I was to be given the choice, بَيْنَ أَنْ يُحَاسِبَنِ اللَّهِ, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holding me accountable, or my own two parents holding me accountable, I would have chosen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold me accountable. Because Allah has more mercy on me than my own two parents. You imagine if on the Day of Judgment, you got the chance to meet your mom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, go talk to your mom. If she says you can go to Jannah, you can go to Jannah. Sounds pretty easy, right? Allah is more merciful to you than her. But you need to make an effort. It's as simple as that. ذَلِكَ الْعَرْضِ when your deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you feared that moment, if you prepared for that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take each and every single one of those deeds and put you to justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will subject you to His mercy instead. But as for the one who insists on disobeying Allah day and night and ignoring that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will come on the day of judgment, and you know what? They will not only see their deeds, اقرأ كتابك, they will have to read them. Not only will they have to read their deeds, كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا, you already know how bad it's going to be. You are enough of a witness against yourself. Not only that, but you know what it would be? It would be instant replay, live video feed. ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا, they will see their deeds present. You imagine, if there was someone who had a camera on you your entire life, and it was someone that you loved and respected, and then at the age of 50 years old, you have to sit in a room with that person, and that person sits there and goes through all of the humiliating moments of your life and says, explain that to me. You explain to me what's going on. In live feed, subhanAllah, we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will find only what we have prepared for that day. A live video feed. And the video of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than HD, by the way. This is your deeds being presented live. حاضرة. Explain yourself. And I ask each and every single one of us that question. If you would be too embarrassed to present your deeds in that way to a human being, then why are you not embarrassed to present your deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because you know what comes next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, as for the one who receives his book in his right hand. The believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blots out his sins, he turns his sins into good deeds. Subhanallah. He doesn't even have to go through the trial aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to go through it already. You get your book in your right hand because you were ready for this. You were ready for this. فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهُ, he goes running between everybody and he says, everybody read my book. Look at my salah. Look at my siyam. Look at my qiyam al-layl. None of you knew about it, but look at my qiyam al-layl. None of you knew about it, but look at my sadaqah. Here it is. هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهُ, everybody look. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ, I knew this day was coming already. I was already prepared for it. I knew this day was coming. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَ, so he will live in a calm and tranquil setting. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَ, in an exalted paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the rewards of paradise. As for the one who receives his book in his right hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in two different places, two different narrations that do not contradict each other, two different ayat that don't contradict each other. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and as for the one who receives his book in his left hand. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ, the one who receives his book behind his back. And I want you to imagine this, as the ulama have explained, that the person, when he's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he realizes, he recognizes his doom, and he doesn't want to receive his book in his left hand, what will he do? He would put his hand behind his back, his left hand behind his back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the book to come right behind him, into his hands. And he would go around on the day of judgment, and the people would read his book and they would scorn him. His deeds are open for everyone to see. فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَهُ, I wish I never received the book. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَهُ, I wish I didn't even know what my account was. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةُ, I wish that this was the end of me. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَهُ, my money did absolutely no good for me. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ, I'm absolutely helpless today. I have no authority today. Now I ask you this question, dear brothers and sisters. Let's say that here, June 22nd. It's June 22nd, right? Or is it June 23rd? 23rd. June 23rd at the DC Hidayah Conference. Let's say, and I'm not promoting a wrong aqidah here, okay, so don't get upset. But let's say that you put your hand in the air and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed each and every single one of our books of deeds to come down. Now, not on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Today, everyone received his book of deeds. Would you really be willing to show that book to anybody? Think about it. SubhanAllah. Would you even be willing to show it to your spouse, your parents, your children, your close friends? Would you be willing to show that to absolutely anyone? Now here's the thing, you might be thinking to yourself, but wait a minute, riya is haram and that's why I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't show off because mashallah, I know how awesome I am, but I wouldn't want to tell anybody else how awesome I am. It's not that. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says something very powerful. He says that each and every single human being wants to be praised. There is not a single one of us that doesn't want to be praised. Somehow you want to be praised. But you know what? And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says something else. He says, لا يعرف الخلق والخالق أحد. No one knows the creation and the creator. ثم يؤثر معاملة الخلق على الخالق. And prefers the sight of the creation over the creator. Yeah, I want to be praised. You want to be praised. Yes, we want to show off, but who do we want to show off to? Allah. Nobody knows the creator and the creation and then chooses that he wants the creation to respect him and to love him. Who are you seeking for? ذَٰلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ This is better for those who are seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah gives you bragging rights. Allah gives you bragging rights. Go ahead and celebrate. But the believer in this life, he tries to establish a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret. Because he's afraid that if his deeds become public, he's afraid of showing off his good deeds because he does not want to sacrifice the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. Because he understands one day, he's got to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has to explain himself. Then you would go to al-mizan. Then you would go to the scale. The scales that are larger than the heavens and the earth. That Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu both have tongues. Scales that speak. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the heavens and the earth were to be placed inside of them, لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ. And in another narration, لَوَزِنَتْهُمْ. It would fit them and it would weigh them. So this is a scale that goes down as accurate as you can possibly imagine. 0.00000000 until you can run out of zeros. And you go to that scale. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't just weigh your deeds. Allah won't just weigh your books. Allah is going to weigh you. Now don't get afraid if you're obese. It's not what I'm talking about. There's a different type of scale with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scale that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the Day of Judgment, يَأْتِ الرَّجُلْ السَّمِينَ الْعَظِيمِ فَلَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَةٍ. The scale that a huge, great man would come, great in the sense of physical stature, would come and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and would not weigh the weight of the wing of a mosquito. And there's the scale that would weigh Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a dwarf in physical stature, who it was said about him that the person, a normal person sitting down would be his height when he's standing up. That's how small he was physically. The one who, when he went to pick a siwak from the araq tree, was blown into that tree and his legs were exposed. And the sahaba laughed and the Prophet ﷺ said, why are you laughing? He said, Ya Rasulullah, his legs are small. And the Prophet ﷺ said that on the Day of Judgment, these legs will be the size and weight of Uhud. Mount Uhud. That's the scale Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. So what exactly is this scale going to weigh on the Day of Judgment other than our deeds. We look at the hadith from Abu Darda radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there is nothing that is heavier on the scale of the believer on the Day of Judgment than husnul khuluq, his good character, your inner beauty, that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can analyze. The weight of your character will be weighed, not the weight of your khalq. You can fool everybody with your externals in this dunya. You can fool everybody with the way that you're dressed. You can fool everybody with the way that you talk. You can fool everybody with that, but you will not be able to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you on that day and weighs you, and you are running between your scales, trying to see which way it's tipped, and some people will have their deeds exactly equal to one another. The people of Al-A'raf. You imagine, as exact as that scale is, there will still be some people that will come on the Day of Judgment and they will have an exact measure of good deeds and bad deeds, subhanAllah. And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will allow them to enter into paradise. But I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, what if you fall just one deed short on that scale? How will you feel? You should know, subhanAllah, that you're going to stand in front of Allah and your deeds will be presented. And we look at the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast on the days of Monday and Thursday, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on those days, and when my deeds are presented to Allah, I love to be fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is an authentic hadith from Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, narrated by Ahmad and al-Bayhaqi and classed as Hassan by Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he was asked why he fasts Sha'ban so much, the fasting of Sha'ban, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Sha'ban. He wants to be fasting, he wants to be ready. And by the way, we're already in Sha'ban, just letting you all know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this mentality, and the believers had this mentality, making use of every single moment, making use of every single good deed, every single opportunity, every single chance. Because when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't want it to be an introduction, you want it to be a reunion. And I ask you this question: how many of you miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't answer me, answer yourself. How many of you have been talking to Allah lately? You know, I always, subhanAllah, it's always funny to see two people that haven't talked to each other for a long time because they've been ignoring each other. When they first meet, there's awkwardness. There's awkwardness. I don't want my meeting with Allah to be awkward. I don't want there to be any heat, any tension. When Allah brings you on the Day of Judgment, were you already saying labbaik Allah wa sa'daik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, oh Allah, I'm running to you, I'm coming to you, I'm running to you, I knew that this day was coming, inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya, I knew I was going to meet you, I was ready for this, ya Allah, I know who you are, O Allah. I know how great my sins are, but I worked and I tried, understanding that at the end of the day, only your mercy was going to get me in. But I want you to just picture yourself when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you meet a human being, it's been a long time since you've given a call to that person. You haven't been answering your text messages. You've been ignoring your emails. Sounds a lot like me, unfortunately. You've been ignoring a human being. And subhanAllah, it feels bad when you meet that person. But how many of us have been ignoring the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our whole lives running away when we should be running to Him? And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ," whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet them. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, but Ya Rasulullah, we all hate death. We all hate death. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ was talking about. The believer, when he is given the news of the mercy of Allah and his pleasure, he will rejoice at meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who has been running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the disbeliever, when he's given the news of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his punishment, he will hate to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I just want you to ask yourself, when's the last time you told Allah, I can't wait to see you? When's the last time you thought to yourself, I miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arihna biha ya Bilal. Let's just go, I want to go to my salah. I miss my salah because I miss talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who perfect their standing in this life and whose standing is perfected on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us into Jannat al-Firdaus without any form of adab and without any form of hisab. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.